We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to the UFO show, Dan. The mysterious music of the abyss. The unknown. I am Ty. He is Dan. This is the Solid Verbal. It is our Friday orbit show. The U currently in discussion. We can talk about that momentarily. Dan Rubenstein is over there in the beautiful capital of the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. We probably should have discussed this sooner, and we're going to get into news in a moment before we get into our, I guess, figuring out what U is going to stand for and what our actual Friday orbit is today, because I guess people already know based on the title of the show. But are you intrigued by aliens? I know you're into space. I know you're into space travel. I know you're into fuel for space travel. And I know you're into Star Wars, which is more of a cartoonish Western look at space. But are you into aliens? Are you into extraterrestrials? I'm not even just talking alien ships. I guess, though, that's a sidebar. But are you into all things alien?
100% into all things aliens. Yes.
You and Tom DeLonge share that passion. Okay.
We share that passion. Yes. I have not been abducted the way Tom claims to have been. Mm-hmm. But 100% all in on aliens. Yes.
Do you go out of your way for alien movies, or do you feel like that cheapens what aliens might be?
Alien movies, yes. Not the alien movies. Not into
those.
Did
you like, what was it? It was Arrival, I think, with Amy Adams.
Not bad. It was.
I liked it a lot.
Bad. Not bad. Signs, not quite for me, mostly for me, but the end, not for me. I could go for a good alien movie pretty much all the time. Yeah.
It's movies, and this is, I guess, another broader discussion. Maybe we have this on our Patreon. Oh my gosh. What about a movie like 10 Cloverfield Lane, which people seemed online to not like, but I watched it on a plane and I loved the hell out of it.
Not bad. Not bad. I'm mixed.
I like a good slow burn.
Yeah,
I do. I thought both Arrival and 10 Cloverfield Lane were slow burn alien movies.
I am with you on Arrival. We can talk about Ty's favorite alien movies a little later on if you'd like to. Headlined, of course, by Independence Day.
I like the idea, and we can talk about Patreon in a little bit, but I like the idea that we are going to be making so much in the way of new stuff and experimenting with new stuff to see what people like without inundating the masses with them, just the people who truly have good taste. That we could just do a once a month film show. We could.
Or a once a month alien show. I'm down with that too.
Whatever. Could just do a once a month alien show. We could do an alien film show. That's just, maybe we can probably get DeLonge.
What's he doing right now? He's not doing anything.
Along. I think I might have a couple of connections to him. I think I might. Through my old pop punk days, I think I might have some DeLong connections. I would love to have him on.
Pop punk days. Yeah.
I say that as if I played bass for Motion City Soundtrack. Not the case. I assure you, not wish I had. Would have been fun. Live that Minneapolis lifestyle.
Sure.
But in any case, we should. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about news? Do you want to talk about. Let's do news.
Let's do news.
Let's do the UFO show, and then let's talk show stuff.
Let's do our news.
Okay.
Our breaking news.
Boop, 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 boop,
what do we got,
boop.
Dan?
Les Miles has the COVID.
Ooh. Damn.
More outspoken people about if you're opting out, you're opting into COVID. I don't know what that means about.
Still a very weird comment. Yeah.
I don't know what. Yeah. I don't know what that means about what he has done or not done. So hope he recovers quickly. I saw the GM, the AD. Gosh, Ty. I haven't even had the beer on our Brewin' A yet.
I'm working on number one flubbing. Right now. I'm actually working on
number
one.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I just have the tea. The Kansas AD mentioned if he remains symptom-free that he could be available to coach on the 17th of October. So not this week, but next week.
Good, good.
Otherwise, I saw that the SEC has been very vocal to its programs and coaches and members saying, hey, we've been doing a good job thus far, but we're seeing people maybe taking their foot off the gas in terms of public health protocol. And here's the fine situation. $100,000 if it's $100,000 if they find a violation going up against the school's payout, and then $100,000 each subsequent one. So the SEC, I think, drawing a line in the sand in terms of, hey, follow what we're saying here, because we want football. And I think I commend them for that.
I commend him for it. And, the SEC, I think all along, Dan, has actually done a pretty good job communicating where they're at. We talked about that all throughout the summertime when a lot of this was kind of up in the air. They were pretty outspoken about where they were. They were going to let the doctors and the experts guide what they did as a conference. Obviously, they held on even after the Big Ten decided to pull the plug. And so far, at least, we've had cases crop up here and there. And by no means is this fully under control just as a society, but at least from a college football standpoint, they do seem to be able to manage it to some extent. And, I think we're grateful for any football we get.
Yeah. I did another radio show, a really good radio show, where they're like, okay, what do you think about the college football playoff and the Pac-12? I'm like, I'm just hoping Saturday goes great. I'm just hoping Saturday goes really well.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. The SEC has done a good job. They've been very communicative. They've been very vocal, and they've laid out their expectations. And whether it's, practice protocol, whether it's facility protocol, coaches on the sidelines, because that is a very public-facing position. What coaches do is influential. So hopeful that it's a meaningful communique. Is that a word?
Sure.
With the SEC programs. Otherwise, I did see Mizzou is now hosting the LSU matchup this week because of Hurricane Delta concerns.
Okay.
So here is the Solid Verbal's official stance. Okay. And also, screw you, Hurricane Delta. We hope you're far weaker than what is presumed. So hopefully that goes off without a hitch. And we're thinking of everybody in that region and hope everybody is able to remain damage free. That's 100%. Is that a take?
That's not a take. That's just being a human. So, yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely.
UMass and Georgia Southern are now scheduled for next Saturday. UMass, of course, had canceled their season and is now booking opponents, it appears, that
booking
perhaps have opponents.
Through like a
available.
Form on umass.edu? How are they doing this?
Google Doc. It's a Google Doc.
Okay.
And not all of the fields are mandatory. So, anytime, as disappointing as UMass's 2019 season was, guys go to UMass to play college football. They want to play, and they see other teams playing. And if everybody's able to practice the safety protocol, I'm happy for those dudes.
This is going to throw
that those UMass players get to play
a huge wrench in my UMass Georgia Southern party that I had planned, but I will suffice.
How does it throw a wrench in your plans? They're playing.
I don't know. Moving on. Let's move
on. What are you even talking about? You were very tired.
It's been a long day, Dan.
Yeah, it's okay. Moving along, what other news is interesting to you, Ty? Anything?
I'm excited about this week of college football. It's not news. It shouldn't be news to anybody if you've listened to the show.
Right.
But just a lot of really good matchups that I think are going to actually help answer the question that we're going to talk about on this show tonight on our UFL show. You know, we at this early juncture in the season, it still feels early. It still feels premature to really have a fully baked take on where teams stand in their respective conferences. And I feel like there are enough high profile matchups this week that we're going to get another interesting data point, let's say, on where teams rank relative to one another. Again, we don't have the cross-pollination this year of conferences playing one another to really get that barometer. Where does one team stand in the Big 12 versus the SEC versus the ACC versus eventually the Big 10 and the Pac-12? Now we're actually going to have just a little bit more data that we can go on in lieu of what might otherwise be a fun non-conference slate. So I'm excited to start talking about the games this week.
What do you think about, given today's game, and that you can play the sound if you'd like right now.
Alien Invaders.
Yeah.
Alien Invaders.
Alien Invaders. You made this. What was your, how would you describe your state of mind making this sound?
I was thinking about aliens, and then I thought about Space Invaders, and then I started looking up 8-bit royalty-free space music, and nothing really did it for me because that seems too cartoonish and childlike, even though we love 8-bit music. And then I found some free ambient spacey music, and then I wanted to keep the Invader theme because it goes along with how we're discussing it and tying it to college football. And yeah, you know what I thought about a little bit while making this? If you want the true inspiration, the behind the music,
the meaning of life.
Do you know if you heard of Del the Funky Homo Sapien and Deltron 3030, a futuristic rap experiment from like 2002?
I'm not going to pretend I know anything about what you're talking about.
It's a fun listen. Deltron 3030, I'm looking. There was an album. It's like a high concept. I don't know how to explain it, but it's really good. And it was right around the turn of the century. And that was my inspiration.
All right.
Does that make sense? So, okay, this is what we mean by alien invaders. And Ty, you can tell me if my proposed you makes sense. Which team from the Power 5 conferences, and we can go beyond them as well, that has not won that Power 5 conference in the last 3 years has the best chance to, ready for the U, usurp.
Ooh.
Usurp. Usurping Friday orbit. Usurp control away from the team or teams that have controlled the top of that conference. So in the case of the Big 12, it's anybody but Oklahoma who has won the conference these last 3 years. In the case of the Big 10, anybody but Ohio State. In the case of the ACC, anybody but Clemson. Obviously, the SEC, we have Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and the Pac-12 has Washington, Utah, Oregon. So those are a little bit more wide open, but those other conferences have more to choose from. So who poses that threat to invade the turf of the team or teams that have won that conference recently?
Since you're talking about invaders, Dan. You also mentioned to me before we hit the record button that Jody with an eye walked into the room as you were putting the sound together and just looked at you with a quizzical stare.
Yeah. But, you know, it goes both ways, Ty, because she has Zoom calls. So she's like business on top and sweatpants. So we look at each other very askance most of the day.
Does Jody with an I have a business voice? I'm told that I have a business voice that I use, that it's not the broadcast voice. It's not the normal Ty voice. It's the business voice.
100%. She absolutely does. And it's hilarious to me.
So we're talking about usurping. Yes. Previous champions on our usurping
mm-hmm.
Friday orbit.
Shall
we start in the SEC since
let's do it.
We were singing their praises earlier. The last three SEC champions have been LSU, Alabama, and Georgia. So if we're keeping with the theme here, I'm assuming we're looking for a school outside of those three that we feel has a chance to usurp, to overtake, to be the alien invader and win the SEC in 2020. Is that fair?
Yeah. Or maybe establish themselves as one of those types of powers atop the conference for years to come, but at least this year, yes.
The obvious answer here has to be Florida.
Arkansas. What?
Has to be the Florida Gators. That's sort of the low-hanging fruit. I guess my question is, to your point, is there another school in the SEC outside of these three, outside of Florida, who might be in a position to, you know, make some hay 2 or 3 years down the line?
Yeah, I mean, there's a team that has beaten all three of those teams relatively recently, and that's Auburn. Mm. And so early returns have not been wonderful this year, but what have we seen out of Gus Malzahn over the long haul? As soon as they look bad, they wipe the floor with three teams that look really good. And so Auburn's always looming as the perennial wild card. And in terms of talent, but not necessarily performance and results, Texas A&M, they're a blue chip ratio team. I think they're exactly at 50% of their roster, their scholarships, going to blue chip 4 or 5 star players. So I don't know how seriously you take them, but they meet a minimum bar for a threat. We could have, I guess, talked about Mississippi State after week one, but that conversation, I think,
kind of went out the window, didn't it?
Is dwindling a bit. And I think in the long term, there's an interesting ceiling for Tennessee, but 2020, I think it's Florida with a sprinkling of Auburn.
With the Kyle driver. We got a question about the Kyles and the Kyle driver that we can discuss in our Bruin A episode, if you will.
I would love to.
But I think Florida is the low-hanging fruit here. Of the teams you mentioned, it should go without saying if you've listened to this show, Tennessee is of particular interest to me. I don't have a thing for Jared Garantano. I'm just not vibing.
Clear.
Not vibing with Garantano, but I do like the rest of the roster. I like the running game. I like the defense. I like that they play hard week in and week out. And curious to see what happens post Garantano. Recruiting has been pretty strong there. Probably a stretch to see a conference title on the horizon. But the team is definitely improving in a really big way. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, if they could build the whole roster out of the linebacking core, then we have a conversation to have.
Moving on, let's talk about the ACC. So it's been Clemson.
Hold on. Can I give you my concern about Florida?
Please.
You can throw the ball on them.
Yeah, well, defense.
You can move the ball on Florida. I mean, I thought they did a pretty good job against South Carolina, but they needed a lot of South Carolina helping them with the issues that they might have on defense, replacing a lot of production from last year. What Ole Miss was able to do is a little bit concerning as for usurping potential, right?
I would think so. I mean, Ole Miss is not, I don't think in the near term, going to have true usurping potential to make any kind of lasting dent in the SEC West or the SEC as a whole. But I don't know, give them a couple years if Lane Kiffin works out, you know. I think what we saw on offense was pretty exciting through a couple weeks here.
Yeah, I need quarterback and defense to feel fully confident. But the Florida schedule is actually pretty nice.
It's great.
I know they have Georgia, of course, at a neutral site. They host LSU, and they travel to Tennessee to end the season. But otherwise, it's a nice year to be really strong on offense, it appears.
Really strong on offense, and the schedule does work in their favor. One of the things we said on the preview show, you know. If you're going to play an all-conference schedule, Florida drew a pretty nice-looking straw there.
Yeah, and you were high on them from day one.
Going undefeated, winning the SEC East.
Next, I love it. Next conference.
Let's go to the ACC, Dan.
Okay.
Let's go to the ACC.
I think there's only one answer, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
Well, there's probably more than one answer if you want to use a qualifier.
Okay.
Clemson has obviously won the ACC each of the last three seasons. So when you talk about who can usurp the Clemson Tigers, this year is probably the exception to the rule because Notre Dame is in the ACC.
That's correct.
So could be Notre Dame, could make a case for Miami, probably not after this week, but at least for now, could make that case. Moving forward beyond this season, though, is the obvious answer Miami?
I'm not ready. I would love it to be. I'm just not ready for it. I don't know if there is an obvious answer beyond this season. This year, I think the most obvious answer is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, Ian Book is a playoff quarterback, right?
Technically speaking, yeah.
Technically speaking, Ian Book is a playoff quarterback. He's fine. He's pretty good. Miami has the wild card element to things, and we will find out soon enough what that actually means. But Notre Dame has that blue chip ratio, so they can weather injuries better than pretty much everybody else in the country. I don't know who's behind Ian Book. I don't know if that's worrisome, but yeah, that defense, the continuity along the coaching staff, save for Tommy Reese, I am confident that if there is a team, it's going to be a team that hosts Clemson. It's going to be a team that has talent, and it has been a team that has been able to win both comfortably and their clunkers throughout a year and find themselves in the playoff. That's Notre Dame. I think that's the obvious answer. North Carolina is interesting, but I don't think they have the depth and the talent level across the board. And everybody else seems to have at least 1.2 fatal flaws.
Notre Dame's the obvious answer this year.
Okay.
Acknowledged. You know, Miami's got a transfer quarterback who has been really good, better at quarterback than they've had in a while, but he's gone next year.
Right.
So what do they do there? That's
right.
So quite like, I have a fair amount of confidence that Manny Diaz is going to put a defense out there. It's what he's good at, but getting consistency at the quarterback position has been a real issue. And, you know, now he's very early on in his tenure. I'm not implying that this is all Manny Diaz's fault, but it's been a recurring theme at Miami for several years running now. And I think it's something that needs to be resolved. They should be able to recruit to Miami to play quarterback. And if he can find a replacement, then Miami maybe is the answer moving forward. I'm excited about North Carolina. I think if I'm picking from the remaining pool, North Carolina seems to be doing a good job of landing really good talent in the recruiting game. They've obviously got Sam Howell for at least another season, which will bode well for him. But they've done some work on defense in the recruiting game that I think is going to just have a lasting effect. Whereas they might have been all offense a year ago, they clearly paid more attention on defense in the recruiting cycle. And I'm just curious to see how that works out for them now in the next few seasons.
You got a dog excited about North Carolina.
Bera is all excited for North Carolina's defense.
Yeah, I think it's a 2021, especially if what we can see from them 2020. It's a 2021 magnifying glass. So we agree. That's boring. We've agreed on the first two answers. I think we will part with number three. You want to talk about the Big 12?
Let's talk about the Big 12.
Nine teams to choose from.
Oklahoma's won the last 3 years. I think we got some interesting options here. Outside of Oklahoma, we've obviously got Texas. We're going to see the Red River Shootout this weekend. Maybe that'll give us some clarity. We've obviously got Oklahoma State as well, the only undefeated team still in the Big 12. Got a good defense this year. The quarterback position right now, a little up in the air given the injury to Spencer Sanders, but good skill position talent with Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace. We've got our friend, longtime friend of the show, Brock Purdy.
Longtime friend of the show. Our friend Ari Temkin did from SiriusXM, from Big 12 Radio. He was able to ask Brock Purdy about Brocktober. And the answer was, yeah, I've heard about it. It's a fun thing, but, you know, I don't pay too much attention. Lies.
All lies.
Lies.
Brock's going to be our first Patreon subscriber. You know it. I know it. Just want to get that out there.
I will also tell you this. Would it surprise you if he files for a trademark for Brocktober? like what QB Aggies did with Kenny Trill.
Yeah. No,
I think he should. I don't want it.
I don't want it. I don't want to pay that kind of cabbage for that.
It'd be wonderful if he does. Brocktober is wonderful. That's my answer, actually.
Iowa State. Who else do we got, though? I mean, K-State.
Kansas State. Okay, so Iowa State is undefeated in conference. We're just talking about Big 12 championships, so it doesn't matter that they lost to Louisiana, as ugly as that was. You have TCU, who just had a nice win, but did lose to Iowa State. You have Baylor, who I think we can say it's going to be a struggle. West Virginia. Kansas. I mean, so is it a four-way menage a quat? My French is correct. Texas, TCU, Iowa State, Kansas State. Or I guess it's five-way with Oklahoma State. If they can get Spencer Sanders at an interesting level, or if Shane Illingworth really works out.
Why? Tell me why your answer is Iowa State.
Schedule is nice. They have Kansas State in Ames. They've already beaten two major threats, what we perceive to be two major threats, in Oklahoma and TCU. So in terms of tiebreakers, they're in a nice place early. They have jumped out of the starting gates impressively in Big 12 play, winning on the road against TCU and beating Oklahoma in dramatic fashion. That, to me, is the interesting thing about Iowa State. And if I'm going to lean on my combination of quarterback and defense as the ultimate combo, I think they have it. An interesting Jaquan Bailey is a star on the edge. I think situationally, Iowa State's in a really good place. Go Clones.
I think the answer for me is Oklahoma State. I am really into their defense. In looking at their schedule, they do have a road tilt against Oklahoma, but they're home against Texas. Mm-hmm. Home against Texas. Close out the year at TCU. That'll be a tough game. So it's not an easy path here. There are a bunch of games that, if you look at their projected win probability, it's like 60-40, you know? But I have a lot of faith in that offense once Spencer Sanders gets back. I have a lot of faith in that defense. Hopefully should raise the floor for them and keep them on sort of track for this, even if they don't have the offense firing on all cylinders. And I just feel like they're in a really good spot. You know, they've got a week off here before they go Baylor, Iowa State, Texas, and K-State. And that's going to tell us an awful lot about this team. I hope Spencer Sanders is able to get back. If he's back out there, if he's performing at the level that I think they expect, they've got to be the answer here. Just have to be the answer because of that defense.
I guess, but I don't know that getting Spencer Sanders back locks them in on that side of the ball.
Can I tell you a secret?
Some of his struggles last week, yeah?
I just bought Brocktober.com, just in case.
Did you? As you were talking?
As I was talking, I purchased that
Holy
domain.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm multitasking here on the Friday
show.
How
much you spend on it? $12.99?
Hover.com, $12.99, yep.
Good by you. Good job by you. If Brock Purdy wants it.
He wants it, he can have it for free. Yeah, I'll just give it to him.
That four-game stretch of Texas, Kansas State, Oklahoma, and Iowa State to start things off, that's a little bit scary to me about Oklahoma State, especially both for Spencer Sanders and Shane Ellingworth. I think they're really close if everything is hitting, but I'm not fully there.
Have you looked at our portfolio of domains lately? We have some really weird domains in here.
What do we have?
Oh, boy.
I think I own fartgoblin.com.
Fartgoblin. We don't have anything like that in our portfolio as like an actual business, but.
Okay.
We got some oddities in here. Okay.
I like it.
A new one that we may be rolling out soon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Hey, Texas does not move the needle for you as a usurper.
No, they.
The team with the highest level of talent of the remaining nine.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. I'm glad you bring that up. They do move the needle because it's Texas. I'm just sick of talking about Texas.
I know.
You know, the Texas is back thing is almost like cliche at this point for all the wrong reasons.
Almost.
Well, it is. And we both picked Texas outright, I think, to win Red River Shootout. We like their talent. We like a lot about the team. For whatever it is, they haven't been able to get over the hump. And
wait, hold on. Do you like a lot about Texas?
Yeah, I do.
I feel like that's faint praise.
Faint praise. No, I mean, yeah, of course I like Texas. I've been all in on Texas for years now. And the only reason it ever sounds like I'm not is because they've let me down so many damn times.
And why do you like them?
Because I can't quit them. It's like TCU. I have this weird affliction with the Big 12.
Yeah, we need to get you living in like Amarillo or something. You just need to relocate to Texas and just have these weird crushes with in-state schools. Texas is not a fun watch to me. I get the best of Texas. I get the worst of Texas. And maybe it's just because Sam Ellinger has been there for so long and I'm used to just, you know, him trying to barrel dudes over from the 3-yard line. Like I kind of just get it. Yeah. I kind of get the Texas deal under Tom Herman. I'm not saying they should get rid of him, but in terms of week to week, I'm never that excited to watch Texas football because it's just always like, well, there's like all this palace intrigue and the palace is on stilts. It's just, it's tough to get juiced about the Horns. I don't know. Something does not do it for me about them.
So your usurper is Iowa State and mine is Oklahoma State.
Yeah, there's an energy, there's a fun there, there's a combination, there's an underdog thing. I'm going Iowa State.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's go to the Pac-12. Pac-12 is not... Yeah, Pac-12 has not started play yet. They will shortly. Your last three Pac-12 champions have been Oregon, Washington, and USC. I'm not going to pretend that I know a lot about the Pac-12. I feel like we have focused so much on the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 that another conference or two starting play is going to throw a big-time monkey wrench in our little process here. But I know you follow the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Is there another team here that jumps out at you?
Yeah, California Golden Bears. Quarterback and defense. I'm not, there's a lot of a lot of just energy spent on the West Coast saying the phrase, Cal was undefeated, in which Chase Garber's played all four quarters. Okay. All right. Relax. Cal's interesting. Cal has a terrific schedule in that they get Washington and Oregon. I believe Washington opens the season, and Cal, if nothing else, owns the Washington Huskies. And they get Oregon at home, and that game is a sandwich, I believe, for Oregon between their two rivals in Oregon State on the road and Washington and Eugene. So there's a lot clouding Oregon minds right around there. And Cal, I think, especially with the opt-in of Cam Bynum, I know they lose some other key pieces on defense. I'm curious to see whether or not they're able to generate killers on the outside. If they're able to worry teams. I mean, we've talked about the phrase problem, and Cal certainly fits that. New offensive coordinator, but Chase Garbers is solid. He's pretty good. And it's been a long time since we've been able to say that about a Cal quarterback consistently. So if he's able to stay healthy, I really like Justin Wilcox as a defensive mind. I think that's my answer. I think things line up really nicely for Cal.
What about Utah?
They lose everybody.
How do we not mention Utah? Does it matter that they lose everybody, though?
This is a particularly loss-filled offseason.
The offseason.
Pac-12 offseason, yeah.
Yeah, the offseason is, has not been kind to the Utah Utes. They got to find a quarterback, got to find a running back. I mean, Jake Bentley comes over. But... You know, they have their work cut out for them on the offensive side. And
schedule's great, by the way.
Schedule's fine, but most of the defense is gone, too. I have faith that Kyle Whittingham is going to put a formidable defense out there, even if he's losing a lot. And the schedule is not bad. They've also played.
Ty, the schedule is amazing.
They've also played in the Pac-12 championship game each of the last two seasons. So,
yeah.
You know, even though they're close, they haven't actually gotten over the hump. I don't know how they can't be the answer. Like, I'm with you. I'm goo-goo for Garbers as well.
I mean, would you rather have Chase Garbers or Jake Bentley?
I mean, it's always Chase Garbers.
Okay.
Always and forever. But I'm just saying, I have more faith in Kyle Whittingham putting a balanced unit out there on the field and potentially usurping one of these three teams than I do almost anybody else in the Pac-12.
A team that a lot of ink, proverbial ink, has been spilled over is ASU. Beat Oregon last year late in a game Oregon needed to get to the playoff. I think they start the season at 4 a.m. against USC. Oh, man. Would you go, if this were a normal year, and say Penn State were closer to you, they were like an hour away or something instead of, what are they, 3.5 hours, something like that?
About 2.5. Yeah.
Oh, 2.5 hours. Okay, let's say they're an hour away. Let's say they're 45 minutes away. Penn State's kicking off at 9 a.m. local and doing so against, I don't know, Michigan. And you got great seats. You're on like the 35-yard line, 25 rows up. Would you go to a 9 a.m. kickoff?
I'm awake at like 3:30 a.m. every day.
So it's all relative.
It's all relative. I'm just getting rolling by 9 a.m. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask. But yeah, I mean, I kind of like it. You get the game out of the way. You got the rest of the day in front of you.
I love it. I feel for the players because that means you're starting your day at 5, 6 a.m., waking up and eating and practicing and stretching and all that, or walkthroughs and stretching. I would love to attend a 9 a.m. game. But oh, yeah. I think we are just very washed. I think we have to keep that in mind. I think that is an element to it. You want to finish this out with the Big Ten?
Ohio State. Ohio State's won the last three. The obvious answer here is Penn State, at least in 2020.
You think so? You think it's obvious?
I think so. Even without Micah Parsons, I still think this is going to be a really good Penn State team. I think they're obvious. Michigan is starting over in a lot of spots. Michigan State, new coach. No one else in the East really jumps out at me. In the West, I guess you could make a case, like you always can, for Wisconsin. Wisconsin should be very good. Minnesota should be very good as well. I don't know if they're Ohio State levels. Iowa's always pesky. You know, Nebraska, who knows what to expect there. But I it has to be Penn State. Who else could it be?
I have Minnesota.
Why Minnesota?
Penn State's on a losing streak to Minnesota, correct?
They are on a losing streak, but they did lose Kirk Schrock.
I baited you, Ty. I baited you.
I did it. Friend of the show. God, he doesn't know it.
This is. Can you buy KirkSciarocca.com? Is that available?
Let me see if I can find. If I can buy it, I will here. I have to find out how you spell his name first.
Oh, we're such just meaninglessly wasting money on squatting on non-profitable websites. The answer for me is Minnesota because they do not have to play Ohio State during the regular season, which means that potentially on a neutral site with rhythm, with a new offensive coordinator, Mike Sanford Jr., and with the potential that Ohio State, and not rooting for this, I'm knocking on wood that it doesn't happen, loses players to injury, key players to injuries. So that spot becomes the most interesting. We've seen teams compete with Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game for stretches, two quarters, three quarters. I like PJ Fleck. I like his recruiting. I think they still have a number of underrated recruits and talent level. But the defense thing worries me that they're replacing a bunch up front and they bring back a lot in the secondary, but they don't have Antoine Winfield, who has been their total stud in the secondary these past couple of years. But the re-opt-in of Rashad Bateman, having Mo Ibrahim, I like Minnesota. I like their schedule. I like Sky Umah. And there's something to me that is, with Jack Cohn going down in Wisconsin and losing what they do on offense and defense, losing those linebackers, I think Wisconsin has a nice year. And I believe, I'm looking this up right now, where the Axe game is being played, Paul Bunyan's Axe. But I don't know. There's something about Minnesota that I think that they're going to be able to weather these weird times. And they have the best chance because you miss Ohio State. I think they open with Michigan, which is nice. So you get Joe Milton in his first game, and that's at Minnesota. The stretches are actually pretty kind. Iowa is sandwiched between Illinois and Purdue. They have Maryland and Illinois as road tilts early on. Wisconsin is on the road, and Nebraska's on the road to finish things out. But I don't know. You miss Ohio State. You miss Penn State. You miss Michigan State for whatever that's worth. I like situationally where Minnesota might be this year with Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman.
So the good news is that we now own KirkSciarocca.com.
Boom! Ka-ching!
The other good news is that we also
come after
have,
it, Elon Musk.
We also Apple. Have the option to buy onekirksharaka.com, kirksharakashop.com, or globalkirksharaka.com.
Is he big enough yet to have his own web extension? Like, can we buy kirk.sharaka? Does that not exist yet? He's not in the land of biz and show.
We have kirksharaka.systems for $21.99. I can't even say his name. kirksharaka.solutions.com. He sounds like he's sort of in the Jim Chaney consulting school there.
Right. Sure. Can't buy .govs?
No, I don't. They don't give me that option. I'd probably need to provide paperwork. They have a lot of very odd extensions now. KirkSharakaTools.com. Let's just go KirkSharaka.com.
KirkSharaka.com. Yeah, just grab it. You never know.
I'll redirect it to his actual, his Wikipedia
page.
No, his Wikipedia. Okay. I don't think that'll change ever. So we'll...
Okay.
We'll point it. $12.99 well spent. Hover.com, not a sponsor.
So you're going, make the case, I suppose, Penn State gets Ohio State at home, right?
Yes, correct.
That's early. Week two. Okay. Who does Penn State have on the road this year? And make the case for me personnel-wise that they are on the level of Ohio State, if not surpassing the Buckeyes.
At Indiana, at Nebraska, at Michigan, at Rutgers. How are you feeling about that slate? Feeling pretty good?
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah. And then at home, remember, it's an 8-game Big Ten slate. Mm-hmm. At home, it's Ohio State, Maryland, Iowa, which always gives them fits. Doesn't matter how good Iowa is. It always gives them fits.
Well, Iowa's always general. I mean, they're decent. They're a decent team at worst, it seems.
They could be 119th in the SP Plus, and they would still give Penn State a hard time. It's just the way this game goes. And they close out the year against Michigan State. So that's a very, very workable schedule. If I'm looking at projected win probabilities, every game on this schedule outside of Ohio State and the road tilt against Michigan is at least 75% or higher.
Okay.
So you feel good about that.
They
feel
lose
good.
The best player on their team to opt out.
Lose the best player on their team to opt out. But, you know, I'm optimistic that Sean Clifford can show improvement with Kirk Sharaka. Go to KirkSharaka.com. The running game is low-key very good. Maybe one of the better units in the country.
Okay.
And, you know, even with the loss of Micah Parsons, they have recruited very well in defense, and they still have a pretty good cast of characters coming back. So I think the floor is really high for them. I do expect that they're going to get a little bit more out of that offense than Ricky Ronnie did. There are weapons that they can utilize. I still don't feel great about the receiving corps. That's a one. Like, I like Baby Gronk, but outside of that, I'm just, you know, who's going to step up? Is it Jahan Dotson? Is it somebody else? That's sort of the open question to me. That and obviously Sean Clifford. But no, I feel good about the schedule. I feel good about this team. The recruiting has been so strong as of late that even if it doesn't happen this year, I think Penn State's got a really bright future here in the coming years. And they're probably like the low-hanging fruit to this question. Got to be Penn State.
Penn State's yards per carry against Ohio State these last few years, 2019, and perhaps they can improve upon it, 2.75.
Not great. It's not been great. It really hasn't.
The year before that, okay, 4.6. The year before that against Ohio State, 2.6. And then the year before that, 3.3. And now they don't have an obvious passing game threat unless you believe in who, Ty?
Kirk Sharaka.
Yeah. Of these five teams, and I also want to ask you about the American, of these five teams, who stands the best usurping chance? I don't know if we agreed on Iowa State, but Iowa State, Cal, Florida, we'll say Penn State or Minnesota. Like, which of these conferences is most usurpable?
I think Florida. I mean, I've been high on Florida the whole time. And, okay. You know, I think we've seen a progression now under Dan Mullen that you can feel confident things are going in a good direction. Recruiting's always strong at Florida. They've seemingly got the quarterback situation resolved, at least for this season. So yeah, the most immediate answer is definitely Florida.
See, I disagree because Oklahoma's already lost twice. Oklahoma's lost twice. So whatever our Big 12 team is, probably stands the best chance mathematically.
Mathematically, okay.
Okay. That's our game. Do you want to play the Alien Invader sound again?
Let's play it. Why not? Alien Invaders. It's free to play this sound. Yeah.
It is. It absolutely is.
Ugh.
Invaders.
That wigs me out a little bit.
You made it.
I know. And that's why I went with it, because I did wig me out. A couple things. Ty, if you have watched the Brewin' you noticed something very specific, and that we were drinking delicious, cool beers out of a delicious, cool pint glass.
I'm drinking
with the Solid Verbal logo on it.
I'm drinking my beer right now, my pre-Brewin' beer out of my Solid Verbal pint glass. It's a wonderful device.
So we've been, with Patreon being announced next week, we've been weighing what we should be doing with this really nifty box of Solid Verbal pint glasses we now have. Well, that's interesting to me.
It's very interesting. Yeah, they're stacked up somewhere in a warehouse. We've got more of them than we know what to do with. So what do we do?
We've also been doing the Brewin' and we know some people can't. I mean, we're doing it on youtube.com/thesolidverbal. We know some people prefer audio with their Solid Verbal content. So, you know, we're having conversations, Ty, with our October 14th, next Wednesday, Patreon launch. So just want to make sure people know about all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask you a couple of questions before we leave? Can I just
sure,
like
please.
Two quick questions?
Please.
Okay. We had so many good questions come in for this week's Brewin' I wanted to get a couple of these out of the way. Ryan wants to know, are we sure we even want Texas to be back? Like ever? Do you want Texas to be back? It's not enjoying answering the question. Do you want a really successful Texas team for your college football coverage purposes?
I don't want the cliche of is Texas back to ever go away, because it gives us something to talk about every year.
Why do you disregard BYU?
I don't disregard BYU. Do you?
I mean, I think we disregard them in the lack of attention we give them. I don't disregard them. I think it's just difficult to put their early season in perspective about what it means, because there is something about an independent team. And you can say this now as a Notre Dame fan, you know, longtime fan of the ACC, Ty Hildenbrand.
That's right.
Conference of Champions, according to you. An independent team is less interesting to me, because I know Notre Dame has these natural rivalries that they play every year or try to play as often as possible. You have, you know, USC and Michigan and whoever they've sort of built stuff up with in the ACC. So that at least is something Notre Dame has going for it. But BYU playing this very pop-up schedule that doesn't include Power 5 opponents, the Zazz factor isn't fully there yet. I mean, I've been super impressed by what they've been doing so far. Zach Wilson has been a crazy fun watch. I think that's why you disregard him. I want year in, year out rivalries. That's what I need, other than the Holy War.
Zach Wilson's been really good, and the offense as a whole has been outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get a chance to see them at Boise State, I think first week of November, something like that. You know, that's the biggest game on the schedule by far. And there's a game against Houston too in a couple weeks, actually. Where we'll get a better sense for what BYU is all about. But if it comes across as disregarding them, I don't think that's intentional. I have no ill will towards BYU.
I'll stick with that theme. Do you have a team in the American? UCF has won it a couple of times in the last 3 years, and Memphis obviously won it last year, setting up their matchup against Penn State. Is there an American team, be it Navy, Temple, Houston, SMU, Cincinnati? Is there an American team where you're like, okay, they're the usurper in 2020?
Well, Cincinnati has been they're my boys, right? Like,
I don't know if you want to ride with. Okay.
I'm all in on Cincinnati this year.
Okay.
My hunch is that you're going to be all in on SMU because you have this weird thing with SMU. But
oh, Ty,
I'm all in on Cincinnati. Give me that defense and Desmond Ridder, D&D.
Wait, are you sure you want to ride that offense? You sure? I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a chance.
Defense is very good. It's very good defense.
SMU has taken an impressive step forward on defense this year. We'll see how much it holds up. Their opponents have not been amazing. Memphis has struggled. Then it's Stephen F. Austin, North Texas, Texas State. But at Tulane, Cincinnati's offense, Navy has looked pretty dreadful. Dreadful. Temple, Tulsa, Houston, ECU. Is anybody running roughshod over anybody offensively from that list of teams? Not quite sure.
Probably not. No.
Ty, I'm rolling with the D. Right. I'm rolling with the D. I'm rolling with SMU. Sugar Shane.
All right. So plans for the weekend? Anything special?
I'm watching football games. I'm making another Detroit pie Friday night, having some company over, going to eat some outside Detroit pie. I don't think so. We got a lot of work. Like, Ty, I'm working every day on Solid Verbal. That's my stuff. That's my thing. I've got like 4 more hours of work tonight with video stuff and all sorts of administrative stuff and design stuff, and I couldn't be happier about it. So that's the plan. Just grind and tie.
I am really excited for this Patreon thing that we got coming up.
It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to give us a chance to do some new stuff, things that we've wanted to do for a long time. And
there's the lawnmower.
The lawnmower
like clockwork.
Every Thursday at 5:30 Eastern.
Yep. All right. That's all I have, Ty. Patreon is just, that's the true Zazz of this season for us.
So here's the deal. If you're listening, we wish you well this weekend. Enjoy the games tomorrow, if you're listening on a Friday, or today, if you're listening on a Saturday morning. 408-VERBAL-1 is the reverb line. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind as you're watching the games. We cut them up. About a 3.5-minute clip, 4 minutes if they're really good. Call them the Reverbs, 408-837-2251. Give us a call. Cut those up. Bright and early Sunday morning, we'll play it on the airwaves. In the meantime, if you are just finding us or you like what we do, we are pretty much everywhere on social media at Solid Verbal. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/TheSolidVerbal. There's a subreddit.
We're about to post our Brew&A.
We're going to do that next.
We're about to hit record on our cameras and microphones and record Brew&A drinking out of beautiful Solid Verbal pint glasses and having cold refreshments in the process.
And maybe this goes without saying based on all the hints we've dropped so far, but we've been doing some exciting stuff. We've been working on some exciting stuff in the lab, and we've only had an opportunity to reveal some of it thus far. And this coming week is going to be a big week for us. I'm really excited about this coming week.
Have we given a podcast to Tom DeLong? Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, enjoy the rest of whatever remains in your week. Enjoy all of your week and enjoy the games. Give us a call. And in the meantime, stay safe and stay solid.
Peace.